Thank you, ladies. That was beautiful. Well, maybe we will, maybe we won't. Ah, very good. I'm not that smart. Okay, now we're where we need to be. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, today we want to remember that you are the creator of heaven and earth, and I ask that you speak to us today through your word and through your creation. Amen. I'd like you to open your Bibles again to our memory text, not a memory text, but our scripture reading. John 1, 1 through 4, and verse 14. And I've got three questions to ask you. First one is, in that scripture reading in verse 1, what does the verse 1 say the word was? Yeah, the word was God. Okay? And then in verse 3, what does it say the word made? Made everything. There wasn't anything that wasn't made by the word. Now that tells you right away that the word wasn't created, because some people think that that's the case. And then finally, verse 14, who was the word? Yes, the only member of the Godhead to dwell among us, to become flesh, was Jesus. And so the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus. So the reason this is in here is because today is creation Sabbath. And I thought that the first thing we should pay attention to is who actually did the creating. It was God the Father was there, the Holy Spirit was there, but Jesus was there. And Jesus was very instrumental in the creation of this world. The greatest problem, greatest challenge, I should say, that we face today, or one of the greatest challenges we face today in the church, is evolution. If we throw out the first few chapters of the Bible, we've got a real problem, because it's interspersed through all the rest of the Bible. And if we throw that out, what else might we throw away? So, I'd like to start with this once upon a time. I used to enjoy fairy tales. A little kid, my mom would tell me, read fairy tales, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and Sleeping Beauty, and Prince Charming, Robin Hood and his men, and other fairy tales. And that was fun. Enjoyed those. I imagine some of you did also. And there are a lot of people today that like fairy tales. Well, Satan likes to create fairy tales, and he likes to push them on us as if they are indeed fact. Now, I want to read a very short paragraph from this book by Ken Ham. It's called The Lie Evolution. It's important to understand that special creation, by definition, is a belief about the past. The difference is that creationists base their understanding of creation upon a book which claims to be the word of the one who was there, who knows everything there is to know about everything, and who tells us what happened. So we believe God was there, he did it, and he's telling us about it. Evolution comes from the words of men who were not there and who do not claim to be omnipotent. This whole issue revolves around whether we believe the words of God who was there or the words of fallible humans, no matter how qualified they are, who were not there. And that's a big thing for us to think about. Satan comes up with these fairy tales. And one of the most popular beliefs about the creation today is the Big Bang Theory. And I want to read this short paragraph written by an evolutionist about the Big Bang. The universe began not with a whimper, but with a bang. The universe and everything in it came into existence at the moment of the Big Bang. Space, time, and all matter and energy within began from a singular point and then expanded and cooled, giving rise over billions of years to the atoms, the stars, the galaxies, and the clusters of galaxies spread out across billions of light years that make up our observable universe. It's a compelling, beautiful picture that explains so much of what we see, from the present large-scale structure of the universe's 2 trillion galaxies to the leftover glow of radiation permeating all of existence. And this is the last part I'm going to read. Unfortunately, it's also wrong. And then he goes on to explain a new theory about how the universe was created. So they're coming up all the time with these new ideas, constantly changing and showing us what they think is how the earth was created. And if you believe these scientists, then you have to ask some questions. First of all, what parts of the Bible are true? Because they say this stuff isn't true. So that's the first thing. And then if you do that, then you have to ask, okay, well, what other parts of the Bible aren't true? And finally, you come to the question, can you believe anything the Bible has to say? And that's the progression. First you doubt one thing, and then you doubt another, and pretty soon you don't believe anything. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. The recent Barna Group studies revealed a rather disturbing statistic. In the survey, among those labeling themselves as Christians, more than 50% claimed that not everything written in the Bible is true. Half of all the people in this country that claim to be Christians say that some parts of the Bible aren't true. That's scary. Well, I don't believe that. I believe the Bible is 100% true, and I hope that you do also. The Bible itself says that all Scripture is given by God and given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished to all good works. And of course, God tells us a little different story about creation, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to briefly go through the first chapter of Genesis. So if you want to get your Bibles out to follow along, we're going to be starting with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and looking at the days of creation. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then we have day one. And we find out what God did on day one. And he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So, light was the first thing he created. Light can travel through space. That makes it rather unique. There aren't too many things that can travel through space on their own. Most things need some type of a medium. And it's a small packet of energy that we call a photon. And it's very interesting. Some scientists believe that all matter originally was light, that the light became matter. And that brings us to this famous equation by Einstein, E equals MC squared. Basically, this equation says that energy can be converted into matter, or matter can be converted into energy. Now, we're very good at taking matter and turning it into energy. We do that all the time. We burn wood, we burn coal, we burn oil, we do other things that generate power. So we're very good at taking matter and changing it into energy. But you know what? We can't take energy and turn it back into matter. We haven't figured out how to do that yet. But you know, I know somebody who does, who can. That's God. A beam of light. How fast does light travel? Okay, 186,282 miles per second. Pretty fast. But even at that speed in the universe, it takes a long time for light to get from one place to another. Scientists say nothing can travel faster than light. Nothing. But you know, I know someone who can. God. Because the Bible tells us God can be everywhere at the same time. So he can be in all parts of the universe at the same time. Very, very fast. And what color is light? The visible light that we see? Yeah, it's white. And when we put that through a prism, what happens? We get a rainbow of colors. All of the colors that we see are actually the light being reflected off of objects. Part of the light is absorbed, and those colors we don't see, but the colors that reflect back are the ones that are not absorbed by the object that we're looking at. Genesis 9, we're going to take a quick look at Genesis 9, a couple of verses there. And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow will be seen in the cloud." Have you seen that? Have you seen the bow in a cloud? Yes. Not every cloud that from the direction we're looking at it, but if you get in the right place, you could see it from any cloud. "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." Light is a very small part of the electromagnetic spectrum. And all of this stuff is radiation that passes through space, and some of it even passes through us. You know, some of the things like X-rays and so forth. It's amazing. God made all of these things, and we can use those things. We use them for transmitting things through the air, television, radio, things like that. We use them for heating things like microwaves and so forth, and of course for medical purposes. And there's so much that we can do with that. And of course, Jesus said, "Then Jesus spake again to them, saying, I am the light of the world." Jesus is the light of the world. Okay, day two. We'll move a little faster. Genesis 1, verse 6. "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." So there's a picture of the earth with just that very tiny, thin little layer of atmosphere. That's all that separates us from space. And it does a lot of things. It's very, very important to us. It's made up of primarily two things, oxygen and nitrogen. And nitrogen is a non-reactive thing, so that makes it fairly safe. Oxygen reacts with almost everything. These fires we're having, they're fueled by oxygen. And scientists tell us that if the oxygen level wasn't 21%, if it was like 25%, these fires would be unstoppable. A little rise in that oxygen percentage in our atmosphere, and fires would be unstoppable. The whole earth would burn up. And so God's made it just right for us. It keeps us alive. It insulates us so we don't get too hot or too cold. We have the ozone layer up there that filters things from the sun. And it also helps burn up things that would hit us, you know, stuff from space, rocks and so forth. And, of course, evolutionists can't explain why we have that. We have an atmosphere that we actually can see through, which is very unusual. There are lots of planets that, and even some moons that have atmospheres. But most of you can't see through. And we're very, very different. And I think God did it that way because he knew we needed it. Day three. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And we've all been to the coast, so we see where the waters and the land are, or we've been to lakes. I want you to think about water for just a minute. Water's weird. It doesn't follow most of the rules that we generally set up for things. For instance, when you cool something down, virtually everything that we cool down shrinks. It gets smaller. Water doesn't. Water expands. And that one thing prevents this world from being a big ice ball. Because if it shrank, all of this world would eventually be covered in ice. And so it just that one little thing. Another thing is that it can be in all three states basically at the same time. This picture shows us a big chunk of ice, an iceberg, floating in water with clouds in the background. So we have water in this picture in all three states, a solid, a liquid, and a gas. And that's very unusual. So water is strange. An evolutionist can't explain why it is so unique, but if it weren't, we wouldn't be here. But I know why it's that way, because God designed it that way. He wanted it that way. He knew we needed it. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed was in itself and upon the earth. And it was so. This is a continuation of day three. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So by the end of the third day, we've got the seas, we've got the dry land, and we've got the plants. Take a look at grass for just a second. You know, the grass covers about 30% of the surface of the earth. It's the basis of the food chain for most of the creatures in the world. It requires 10 to 30 inches of rain annually. If it's less than 10 inches, it's probably not going to survive and the land will become a desert. If it is over 30 inches a year, it'd be too much, and we start to get other plants like trees and forests and jungles and so forth that grow up. And so that restriction keeps it right in there, but so much of the earth fills that. And, of course, another interesting thing about grass is it's unlike most plants. Most plants, when they grow from the tips. You know, a tree, the branches keep going out. Flowers, they grow up and they grow out. Grass grows from right at ground level. There's a crown there. And that's where it grows. That's why, unlike other plants, cattle can eat it. We can mow it. Guess what? It's going to be back up there next week. We're going to have to mow it again because it's growing from ground level up. And that makes it unique. And God knew that that was needed. It's an amazing thing. Last, talking about plants, I've never been able to fully understand how it's possible that you can take the same dirt, the same water, the same sunshine, and you can grow thousands of different kinds of plants. You know, our garden, we grow all kinds of things in the garden. Well, what makes the difference? Well, it's a kind of seed. But each seed has a little code in it. We call it DNA. And that tells this plant how to use those things, the dirt and the water and the sunlight, to make a plant. And you just watch things grow, and you how can you believe that this just happened? You know, there are approximately 400,000 known plants in the world. Scientists aren't sure how many we haven't found yet, but they're just shy of 400,000 different kinds of plants. Okay, go on to day 4. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made 2 great lights, the greater one to rule the day, the lesser one to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the 4th day. You probably all studied this in school, photosynthesis. Another one of these miracles. You take sunlight and carbon dioxide and water. The plant takes those 3 things. And this is a simplified diagram. And it puts out oxygen and a food source. How can it do that? Scientists can't explain why it does that, how it can do that. But it does it. Well, I know how it does it, because God made it do that. He said, this is what you're going to do, and this is the process that's going to happen. You're going to take these and these and make that. So God designed it. Day 5. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament. Did you notice that word abundantly? Okay. We have only explored about 5% of the ocean. That means that 95% we haven't explored. Now, it seems incredible with all of the ships going out there and all the stuff you see on TV, all of these documentaries about this and that. But in actuality, we haven't looked at very much of the world's oceans. And in that 5%, they have identified 228,450 different species of creatures that live in the ocean. That's almost 250,000 in just that 5%. Nobody knows what's in the rest because they haven't been there yet. But scientists guesstimate that there's probably anywhere from another 500,000 to maybe as many as 2 million more creatures hiding away in the ocean that we haven't found yet. God's amazing. All of these things. If you've ever been to a tide pool and looked in the tide pool, the creatures there are just incredible. And they live together. Some of them help each other. And, of course, others eat each other. It's all part of the web of life. And God has put it all together to work properly. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the 5th day. We don't know all of the creatures in the ocean because we can't see that very easily. Birds are a little different story. We have a fairly good idea of how many birds there actually are. And in the whole world, they're just shy of 10,000. It's 9,900 and some odd birds that they've identified. So they're right at 10,000 different species of birds worldwide. There aren't that many in comparison to some of these other things. But do you know, they estimate that the number of actual individual birds that are alive right now is between 200 and 400 billion. That's a B, billion. That's about, you know, 60 to 80, somewhere in that range, birds for each one of us. You know, each human in the world. It's incredible, the numbers. And we've been depleting all of these things. You know, we have. We've been depleting this. And so the numbers used to be much greater than that. So God, when He said multiply abundantly, they have done just that. Psalm, David, O Lord, how manifold are Thy works. In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. And all I can say to that is amen. Okay, day six. We're going to take this in two parts real quick. First one, and God made the beasts of the earth after His kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after His kind. And God saw that it was good. There are close to 20,000 amphibians, reptiles, and mammals. Those three classes, reptiles, amphibians, and mammals. About 20,000 of them. But also in this group, you have insects. You know how many insects there are? Well, they've actually cataloged very close to 1 million different species of insects. So altogether, with all the different animals that we've talked about and all the different plants that we've talked about, we're sitting somewhere about 1.5 million that we have as humans cataloged. We've studied them, we've named them, we've given them some information. We don't know how many more are out there. And with the insects, they think there are millions of them out there that we haven't found yet. And so they're guesstimating again that maybe there's a total of creatures in the world, plants and animals, between 8 and 10 million different species. And all of this happened by accident. It all came from one little speck in one little pool billions of years ago. I don't think so. There's too much precision in this. There's too much information that's stored in all of these creatures. There has to be an intelligence. It can't have just happened. And God, I guess I forgot to read this one. Sorry, verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth after His kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after His kind. And God saw that it was good. So let's go to part two. This is where we come in. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We are God's ultimate creation on this planet. He made us to spend time with Him, to commune with Him, to get to know Him. And He loves us more than anything. He was willing to die for us. Some people don't think that the seventh day was a creation, but I would say it is. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He had rested from all His work which God had created and made. God holds this world in His hands. He made it, all of it, everything in it. I don't care what the evolutionists say, they're wrong. The Bible is right. And I believe it's right. Jesus made us, then he came and died to redeem us, and he's coming again very soon to take us back to heaven, and then he's going to bring us back to this earth, and he's going to recreate it, and we're going to get to see it. That's going to be an exciting day. Let's get our connect cards out. As they're passing them out, just a quick review. God does things in a specific order. He shows that in the creation. He did everything in a logical and orderly way. First, he created the non-living things. You know, the basic elements, the land, the sea, the air. Then he created the plants, living organisms, but they don't have a mind. Not like we would think of a mind. And they produce all of the food that the other organisms eat. Then he created the sun to provide the energy for all the major systems in the earth. That would be to keep us warm, but also for photosynthesis for the plants, air circulation, the weather patterns, and between the sun and the moon, the tides, which keep our oceans from going stagnant. Then he created the animals, living organisms that had a mind, but not the ability to reason. And they couldn't choose to obey or disobey God. And then finally he created man. And man was given a mind and the freedom of choice. We could choose to follow God or not to follow God. And our connect cards. Take a look at the three statements there. I know that the entire Bible is true. If you believe that with all of your heart, I do. You can mark that one. Number two, I know that the world was created in six literal days a few thousand years ago. That flies in the face of evolution, but that's what the Bible says, and that's what I believe. And finally, I know that Jesus is coming back soon, and he's going to recreate this world. And I'm looking forward to that. I think that is going to be so exciting to see. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. And it should be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. He's coming back very, very soon. Before we pray, I'd like to read this. Who made the mountain? Who made the tree? Who made the river flow to the sea? And who hung the moon in the starry sky? Somebody bigger than you and I. Who made the flowers bloom in the spring? Who writes the song that the robin sings? And who sends the rain when the earth is dry? Somebody bigger than you and I. And that's why we come today to worship God, because this is a memorial of creation. And we need to tell the world that we firmly believe in creation, that evolution is not true. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much for your word. We know that it's all true. You have shown it to us. You have explained it to us, and all we have to do is by faith believe it. We know that very soon you're coming to take us home, Lord, and we want to be ready for that. But more than that, we want our family and friends and our neighbors and even the strangers in the street, for all of them to be saved too, and we know that you want that. So use us, Lord, to be a blessing to those around us, to say a word here and there, to be an example so that others will look at us and say, I want to be like them. Lord, come soon. We're tired of this old world. We want to go home. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done.